Good morning. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuchav Tes. Looks like a rather large daf. It's a lot of Agadata, focused very much on the dinim of Hakaza, of bloodletting, which was a big concept, more prevalent back in the days, considered very healthy. We left off at the two dots, 5-6 lines from the bottom of the page, on Kuchav Ches Amid Beis. Just one of the last gemaras we discussed was that you're allowed to put a light on in the room, even for a blind woman who's giving birth. You're allowed to be Michal Shabbos, allowed to put a light on the room because it's Mesav Daita. It makes her calm down because she's confident now that if people see something that I need, they'll be able to tend to it because now they can see well with the light on. So even if she can't see herself, you're allowed to put a light on to calm her down. The concept of Mesav Daita, of calming her down. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, so that's a lot of tshuva, way back when in the early 1950s, he had a tshuva. The shaila was, as a man, a husband, allowed to go with his wife in the taxi to go to the hospital on Shabbos. A woman's giving birth, and is the husband allowed to go to the wife in the taxi? The husband is not really useful in the Leda. He had no process. He's not really that useful. But what he can do is he can be Mesav Daita. He can calm her down and help her feel better, just the fact that he's there. And Amesha, he baits back and forth. He first says that maybe it's not so simple to compare it to the case of the light, because by the case of the light, it's actually true. Her thought process, there's actually something that someone could do when they see more. They'd be the doctors, the midwives that are there, may be able to help her better when they could see. The husband, in many cases, there's not really much that he actually can do, and therefore maybe he shouldn't be allowed. Ultimately, Ramesha says that who can judge how important it is for the wife to have her husband by his side, and therefore it's at least a suffix of Mesav Daita by Pekuch Nefesh, and therefore he says the husband is allowed to go. He adds in, besides, what type of malacha is really happening when the husband goes in the car? As long as the guy opens the car door and closes the car door for him, what malacha the rice is happening? There's no malacha the rice that's going to happen regardless, and therefore the husband should go. That is Ramesha's approach. Lemaisi is mater, but seemingly a little bit like hesitant, but ultimately is mater. Chazanish takes a more positive approach. Again, Ramesha ultimately is mater, but Chazanish takes a more positive approach. Says lechatchila, one can make lechatchila. Of course, the husband should go along. The wife needs the chizik, and 100% husband go along. But the concept is from this gemara of Mesav Daita. That's the idea of going along. And the paiskim today, if anyone has to go to the hospital on Shabbos for nefesh, the paiskim paskin not just a woman who is in labor, but in general, someone has to go to the hospital for Shabbos. The paiskim will bring that if the person needs some support, some assistance, even not just to lobby on their behalf in the hospital, which would for sure be considered part of Pekuch Nefesh, even if not for lobbying, even just for emotional support, that would be considered Mesav Daita, part of Pekuch Nefesh, and fits with our Gemara, it would be permissible. Okay, so we say in the Mishnah also, in the Braisa, that if she needs to bring oil, she could bring oil either with her palm of her hand. If not the palm of her hand, bring it in her hair and then squeeze it out. That's, I guess, the palm of hand was less amount of oil. If you need more, she should soak her hair in oil and then squeeze it out when she gets there. And if not, if you can't know the Eitzah, then you bring it with the Kli itself outright. Says the Gemara, take Lem Shem Shechita. You tell me to put the oil in the hair. What about the problem of Shechita? Squeezing it out of the Raisa. What are you gaining by not carrying it in a normal fashion? That's, you're not doing Malach of the Raisa. A, you're squeezing out of the hair, so you do Malach of the Raisa. B, so what's the benefit of doing this in this Meshunitic way? Answer the Gemara, where Rabbi Reveza Metavayo, ain't Shechita b'Seir. Rabbi Reveza both say, there's no Issa de Raisa of Shechita by Seir. So big aside, Rashi says because hair is hard, it's not absorbent, so it's just the oil is stuck between the hairs, but the hair itself does not absorb the liquid, and therefore there's no schita. Rambam on this speaks out that there's no chiv schita by seir or by leather either. There's no chiv schita by seir or by hide. No chiv schita. Magamish is medayik. There's no chiv schita. Schiv means no chiv deraisa. But avad medarbanan is still going to be aser. And the velta is nei lechumra. That we're concerned about one of the issues we discussed about going into bodies of water on Shabbos is our concern is, besides for the other issues we spoke earlier in the Masechta about you make up the heat water on Shabbos and the like, another issue we're always concerned about is the issue of schita. Okay, at least on our rabbinic level. Rob, that's answer number one. Is
just one question.
So
what kind of schita is it?
Answer number one. Answer number two is Rav Ashi Amar Afil Tam Yech Chita Beseir. Even if you hold the is Chita Beseir, Mevia La Bekli Derech Sara. So he brings the chap. You're taking it with a kli derech Sara. It doesn't mean you're putting the oil directly in the hair. You're tying the kli to the hair. If that's an option, that's a shinoi. The Kam Dav Shashenim Shinoi. The more shinoi you could do, we always prefer to do as much shinoi as possible. So tying the hear, tying a kli of oil to the hear is a shinei. Now the obvious question is, one second, are we giving orders of what the best options were? We said option number one is take the oil in the palm of her hand. That's obviously a shinei. It's abnormal to carry the oil in her hand. Option two is tie a kli full of oil. If you need more oil, tie a kli full of oil to her hair. I would think that option two is a bigger shinei than option one. The Chayetz Pasha, that tying a kli to her hair is less normal than carrying some in the palm of her hand. Yeah, palm of her hand is definitely a shinui, but it's not as much of a shinui as tying a kli to her hair. So the first will explain enachrami. But the answer is that when you put the oil in the palm of the hand, you're taking the least amount as possible. You're carrying the least amount possible because you're taking whatever fits the palm of the hand, and that's enough. The reason why you're taking a kli is because whatever's going to fit in the palm of the hand is not sufficient. That's why you're taking a kli. It's even more specific. Even if you have the exact same amount in the palm of one's hand or in a kli, what's in the palm of one's hand can be fully used because she could rub her hand on the mother who's giving birth, and she can get rid of all the oil from her hand by rubbing her hand directly on the mother who's giving birth. Whereas from a kli, you have to scoop out of the kli. Some of the residue will always stick to the walls of the kli. So by definition, even when you're doing the same amounts, the kli always needs more than the palm of the hand. So enachami, we're weighing the greater shinui versus the greater amount of carrying. So first option is what's in the palm of the hand, because that's a shinui. It's still a shinui. It's not a normal way to carry oil. And B, it is a lesser amount. When you move to the kli, even though it's taka, the first one will explain, it's taka a little bit of a bigger shinui, then even though it's a little bit bigger shinui, still, it's also carrying a larger amount, and therefore that becomes the second option. And interesting, the Ritva brings this logic, a different, interesting shakavatai of the Gemara. Now, a very important detail, which is going to come up literally in two lines for now as well, a very interesting detail that the Rishonim all speak out, and something we've chazed many times, so you always have to go over, that all these shinuim we're doing in these cases of pikuach nefesh are only when there's absolutely no doubt that the delay, or that it won't cause a delay, or the delay that it causes will have zero effect on the person. If for any, if there's any moment, or there's any chshash, that the delay is going to cause any negative effect on the person who's master pikuach nefesh, of course we never get busy with these extra shinuyim because pikuach nefesh overrides. It's just in a case where we know this is what the Isha needs, we know she'll be fine if it takes another 2 more minutes, it makes no difference, then how much we can mishana, we'll mishana as much as possible. But the place we speak out again, this is actually brought, I mean, the Rama's Mayrach on this, we'll speak out more about this shortly, but when it comes to any doubt of Pekul Nefesh, any doubt that delaying has negative effect, of course we do not delay one bit when it comes to Pekul Nefesh. Okay, so I said, Amar Vidim Shmuel, Chayam, a woman who just gave birth, as long as the kever is pesuach, means as long as the womb is still open, whether she says, I need help, or whether she says, I don't need help, whether she says, I need help, or bain, actually, the words of here, whether she says, I need help, whether she doesn't say, I need help. So she didn't say, I don't need help, according to this girsa. She just says, whether she says, I need help, or she doesn't say, I need help. Either way, Mechal Shabbos for her, because the kever is open. It's a very dangerous time. We'll see exactly what the time frame for that is, but it's a very dangerous time. It's considered Vadei Pekuch Nefesh, and therefore Mechal Shabbos for her. Whether, even if she doesn't say, I need help. But according to this Girsa, if she says, I don't need help, maybe you wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos. Nistama kever, once the womb is closed, whether she says I need it, whether she does not say I need it, once the womb is closed up, then she's a chayla, but she's not a chayla sheish besakana, and therefore we're not mechal Shabbos for whether she says I need it, whether she doesn't say I need it, we're not mechal Shabbos for her. Rav Ashi has the gears the way we just said it. The member of Shmuel. By the way, we pointed out a couple of about back. Shmuel was a doctor. We pointed out Shmuel was a doctor, and we have lots of members. Rav also in today's daf comes up a lot. But lots of members today from Shmuel in this and stuff related to medicine and therapeutic hanhagas. Rav Ashi had the girsa. Rabbi Shmuel the way we just quoted. Rav Zutra Masayach has it the following way. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Chaya, woman who just gave birth, calls Masayach Kever Pesuach. So long as the womb is still open, whether she says I need, whether she says I don't need. Notice lashon over here. Not bein loy amar tzrichani, bein amar ein tzrichani. Whether she says I need, or even if she says explicitly I don't need. So this is a more lenient approach. The second approach, whether she says I need, or whether she says I don't need, still mechal on the Shabbos. We don't listen. We don't care. She's in a matzav of the kever being open, of the womb being open, and we consider her in a matzav of chayla sheish pasakana, and we mechal Shabbos for nista kever. Once the womb is closed, amar tzrichani mechal Shabbos. If she says I need it, then even when the womb is already closed, if she says I need it, we mechal Shabbos for her. However, lema tzrichani, if she doesn't say I need it, if she doesn't say I need it, so not over here. Once the womb is closed, we don't need her to say I don't need it. It's even over here, even less than that. Even if she just doesn't say I need it, then already ain't mechal on the Shabbos. Then we're not mechal on Shabbos for her because the womb is already closed. So if Mazutra, the second version, is a more makel version than Avashi, which was the first version, which way do we go? And there's a big yisayim that comes to Kuch Nefesh. Halach Mazutra, why? Safik Nefesh is lakal. Halach is like Mazutra because the cloud we have is Safik Nefesh is lakal. That is the cloud whenever it comes to Kuch Nefesh. We always say Safik Nefesh is lakal. And this again, just the point I was just referencing a moment ago, that Rambam is Meirich, that Rambam says specifically, we don't try to use a guy for Chol Shabbos by Kuch Nefesh, because people are just going to assume that the people first of all are going to make a mistake and think, oh, it's mutter to just use guy for whatever melech as you want, which we know is not true. That's a mere lakum. It's a separate issue. Plus, you have the detrimental effect that people are going to think you're supposed to go look for a guy and they're going to waste time when it comes to Kuch Nefesh. Mishmur brings, and we've spoken that many times, that every Rav, every Rashiv is incumbent on them to make sure their Talmidim are all fully aware that by Kuch Nefesh is Deich Shabbos and they shouldn't even go to Ask a Shaila. The time it takes to go Ask a Shaila could be a matter of life and death. Everyone should be fully aware that when it comes to Kuch Nefesh, they're supposed to be, Kuch Nefesh is Deich HaShabbos, and they're supposed to be Mechal Shabbos, be a Dayim. You don't go looking for a guy, you don't go looking for other Eitzes, you do whatever it takes to make sure the person lives immediately without delay. Okay, Zakhtim Arvaiter. So we've been discussing the womb being open, the womb being closed. When does Psichas Kever start? Obviously, we ask over here Lagabi Ar Sugya, which is Lagabi the Dinim of Pekuch Nefesh. L'chayr Hu Adin, the same Shaila could be relevant Lagabi Nida. We know the halacha is when Isha starts to get involved with birth, when she starts to give birth, she becomes Tame we consider it like a Tumas Leda, she becomes Tame. So L'chayr, the Tumas starts from Pesichas Kever. It may not be the exact spot as we're about to say right now, but it's definitely where the Gemara Nidas do say something similar. Amrabai, Meshasha Teshava Mashaber. Once she sits on the Amashber, the birthing stool, once she's in the birthing stool, she starts to give birth. That is when she's considered in a matzav of Psichas Kever. The womb is open, it's considered a chayla shish b'sakana, and that is when actually she becomes tamei as well. When the blood starts to drip down because of the labor, others say when it's hard for her to walk that she has to have her friend support her, hold her arms because it's hard for her to walk. That's the zman of Psichas Kever. The first one explained that either of these zmanim, each woman presents differently when it comes to giving birth, and either of these would be enough of a situation to a legabe tuma or legabe sakana to say that she's in the matzav of giving birth, and therefore we can mechal Shabbos. Says the Gemara right there, ad masa psichas kever till when is psichas kever? Amar bayish lashidam 3 days. Rav Yehuda shiva 7 days. So it's psichas kever according to Rabbi, it's 3 days. According to Rabbi, it's 7 days. And Vamil Hashem says 30 days. If you jump into the end of the Tesis, one Tesis on the page. If you jump into the Tesis, mamish last line Tesis, last three lines Tesis says lekach. There's no machlekes. Like we're going to see in the next mark coming up for Nardai, by the way, is where Shmuel was. Again, they were very knowledgeable medicine. That's where Shmuel was. So like we're going to see from Nardai coming up that Rava, Abaya, Rava, and the Amrila, even though Abaya said 3 days, Rava said 7 days, and the Amrila said 30 days, they're not really arguing. They're each talking about different phases of the Kever closing up. But they all are agreeing. They're just saying different, they're talking about different stages. They're not disagreeing as to how long the Kever is open. They're discussing different points of the Kever closing, like we're about to see. Amar Nadai. Nadai said, Chaya, a woman that gave birth, Gimel Zayin Velamed. Her time periods are 3, 7, and 30. Gimel Bein Amar Tzvichani, Bein Amar Leit Tzvichani, for the first 3 days, till the end of 3 days, whether she says, I need someone to help me, which tells me Michal Shabbos, whether she doesn't say, I need it, Bein Amar Leit Tzvichani, it's actually again the Starker Lashon. This is whether she says, I don't need it. She's explicit, I don't need it. We still don't listen. For the first 3 days, Michal Shabbos. That's the first 3 days, and that's the 3 days Abaya was referring to, according to the way Tzvichani explaining. That's what Abaya is referring to. Zion Amar Tzvichani, from the end of the third day till the end of day seven, over there we can say as follows. She's in a quasi matziv. If she says I need tzrichani, mechalas Shabbos, mechalas Shabbos. Amra leit tzrichani. If she says I don't need, then ain't mechalas Shabbos. Again, this stronger lashon. If she says I don't need, then we're not mechalas Shabbos. Seems like if she doesn't say anything, we still would be mechalas Shabbos according to the Diyak of Agamar. Lamin. if up to 30 days, afilu am tzrichani, till the end of 30 days, even if she says tzrichani, ein mechalas Shabbos, we're not mechalas Shabbos, then what's the status? We're saying from after day 7, till the end of 30 days, even if she says I need, she's no longer considered a chalash yishu b'sakana. Of course, unless you know that she is, unless the doctor is saying that she is, but standard, she's not considered a chalash yishu b'sakana, so you're not mechalas Shabbos. So then what is her status? What's unique about why are we giving any status from day 7 to day 30? Says the more very simple, of oisai de'aramai, because she has a din of a chayla, she ein b'sakana. Halach is, a chayla sheish b'sakana michal Shabbos, a chayla she'im b'sakana, you're able to do dirabbanans, you're able to do tzarchei refuah, that you have your dirabbanans, for example, take medicine even, midirabbanan you can't do, a chayla she'im b'sakana, a chayla with no sakana, is a chayla, which typically we explain as a person who's neifel l'mishkev, who has to go into bed, that's a chayla she'im b'sakana, and they can take medicines, you can have a guy, that's our Gemara's case over here, then over here you can have ask a guy, aysirai de aramai, you can, armai, you let a guy do malachafer, you can have ulibrid, Eli Damar, called tzarchei chayla nasai de arma b'shabbos. You're allowed to do all the tzarchim of a sick person of a chayla. Shem es kana can be done a good Shabbos. Uchtavunu damar vununa davar shem es kana. I'm in the nachiv aisa. Like Avunu said the same thing. Things which a person who's a chayla she'im b'sakana. So they're a chayla, but there's no sakana. Then you're able to do it al yedei a nachri on Shabbos. Tell nachri to do it, and it's fine. So that is the point of the hagdara of day 7 to day 30. That is a chayla she'im b'sakana. Amar b'dem Shmuel lechaya shleishim yoyim for a chaya. There's 30 days. What was he saying about 30 days for a chaya means a woman gave birth? What are we saying about 30 days for a chaya for the woman gave birth? What does it mean? By the way, it's funny. The word chaya often is used. Chaya is often used, especially in Tanakh, as a midwife, right? It can be used as a midwife. We in our Mishnah already, we use the word chachma. The midwife we refer to as a chachma, and the chaya we refer to our Gemara is the woman herself who's giving birth, not the midwife, but the woman who's giving birth. Okay. So the Mayachas, what Allah was saying that for a chaya you give 30 days? Amrin Adela Tefila. It was talking about the Gabi Tefila. She should not go to the mikvah for 30 days. Why? Because the mikvahs weren't necessarily so warm, weren't so hot, and the woman's body is still recuperating. And if she goes to the mikvah and the mikvah is cold, we're talking obviously was able to come tar before 30 days, right? These days, it's typically unlikely that the Isha stops seeing dam for up to as many as 4 weeks, up to 30 days. So it's really, usually that's the most minimum amount of time, regardless that she can't go to the mikvah. But technically speaking, once by a boy a week or a girl 2 weeks, once she passes a week for a boy or 2 weeks for a girl, she could go to the mikvah if she stops seeing dam. So she shouldn't go until 30 days because her body is sensitive to the cold and it's going to be hard for her to warm up and she's still not fully well. That's what Shmuel was saying. Again, Shmuel the doctor was saying wait till 30 days. Amar Rava le'amar and el shem bal'ima. So Rava says, yeah, but there's a qualification. Only if the husband's not around. Ava bal'ima and bal'machama. Like we have a David HaMelech where when he couldn't get, he had a chill at the end of his life and they were mechamim him with, they brought him a young maiden. The husband could warm up the wife if the husband's around. So when she's going to the mikvah and the husband's not around, then she has to wait till at least 30 days because she won't be able to warm up from the cold mikvah. Again, these days mikvahs are hot, so it won't be such a concern. But when the husband's around, then even when it's cold, it's not a concern. Now the truth is, these days typically nashim don't go to the mikvah if the husband, I mean, it's a discussion when the husband's not around, unless he's coming back shortly, they don't go to the mikvah. They don't go to the mikvah if the husband's around. Back then, it's more negev because it's not just negev for baal, it's negev also for taras, for eating kachim. So it's negev to go to the mikvah for other purposes. That's why she would be going to the mikvah even the husband wouldn't be around. She'd go to the mikvah to become tar. So we're saying she shouldn't go within 30 days if husband's not around because it's dangerous. She talked about the mikvah within 30 days when her husband wasn't around. And she got a chill. And they transported her bed all the way to her husband Rava, who was in Pumbedisa, in order to be warmed up by her husband, in order to cure her because she got a chill that she couldn't get over. You're allowed to make a madura. You can make a large fire to warm up a woman who's given birth on Shabbos. You got to make a madura. Now, what are we talking about? Big discussion in the Achrenim. Machlekes Magen Mishnah and the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is actually, it's really in the Be'er Halacha. What are we talking about? Which stage are we talking about? We're saying you can make this madura, this fire for the Isha on Shabbos who gave birth. The Magen Mishnah says we're talking about between day 7 and day 30. And meaning, we said till day 7, she's considered, till day 3, she's a chayla, l'sheish b'sakana, no matter what she says. 3 to 7, we listen to what she says. If she says she needs something, we take it to Mechal Shabbos. If not, not. From 7 to 30, we say she, unless we know for sure from the doctors that she is, we assume she's no longer chayla, l'sheish b'sakana, and we're not Mechal Shabbos. And yet here we're saying, according to Magen Mishnah, you make Madura. Why? Because what Shmuel is saying is, this issue that we just discussed about her body being chilled, legabe chill, legabe being too cold, she is a chayla, she's a chayla, l'sheish b'sakana, for all 30 days. Legabe that prat of her body being too cold, she's a chalav yesh b'sakana for all 30 days, even from day 7 through day 30. That's how Magen Mishnah is. Rabbi Elochai says, no, we're talking about within the first 7 days. And we're just pointing out, this is another form of pikuach nefesh. We know that within 7 days, we listen to her if she says she needs something. And when Mechal Shabbos, if she says she needs something because she's considered chalav sheish b'sakana, potentially, even from day 3 to day 7. But we're just pointing out, this is something which is definitely in the realm of pikuach nefesh, and therefore you should be careful about it. That is how the Bir Halacha learns. But day 7 to day 30, you wouldn't make a madura. Okay, and machlokes, that's machlokes Bir Halacha, Magen Mishnah, when we're talking about. Savamina. Now then, the stuff of this psak, l'chaya in l'chaylai. Tafka for chaya, when we give birth, but for a regular chayla, not, and again, what type of chayla are we talking about in this havamina? Mar's going to deflect havamina anyway, but in this havamina, we're talking about, according to Magen Mishnah, we're talking about a regular chayla she'en b'sakana. For a chaya, when she's between day 7 and day 30, chayla she'en b'sakana, we're still concerned. A regular chayla she'en b'sakana, we're not concerned to make a madura. According to Bir Halacha, we mean as follows, no. We're talking about a woman who's within the first 7 days. We're talking about a woman who's yesh b'sakana, and we're stressing that for her, temperature is a big issue, whereas a regular chayla, even sheish besakana, temperature is not such a big issue. That's what they thought to say. Furthermore, they thought to say, b'meis l'kshamim, b'meis l'chamalei. Tafka in the winter we're concerned, not in the summertime. And v'lo yi, it's not correct. L'shachayv, l'shachayla, l'shachayla, either way, the halacha is that we follow this concept of Shmuel, that we have to make a madura because we're worried about the chayla in all scenarios, and all types of chaylas, not just women that should give birth. How do we know this? Medidmar, Amar v'chiv, Amar Shmuel, hikiz dam, and here we get to our next topic, hikiz dam, if someone lets blood, the nistanin and became cold, Isla Madura, Afib Tikufas Tamas. We make a Madura, we're talking about Shabbos, obviously. You make them a Madura even on Shabbos, you make them a fire, even in Tamas. Tamas right now, we're talking about Tikufas Tamas. That's the summer solstice, that's where the warmest time of the year. Still, you make a fire for them because it's very dangerous. The chill that they get after letting blood is very dangerous. A Chayla who has a chill is very dangerous, and you can let them make a Madura on Shabbos. So we see clearly it's not Tafka Din Mechaya, and it's not Tafka Din in the winter. Even in the summer, we make this Madura. Shmuel Tzachle, once we're in the topic of bloodletting, that's going to be a focus now of the whole next, of the rest of the, really the rest of the daf. Shmuel Tzachle, come out the rest of the daf. Tachta Deshaga. Shmuel let blood, and they chopped up from a cheer of a fancy furniture in order to warm up from a fire. Rabbi Yehuda Tzachle Pesur Yavna. Rabbi Yehuda had a table made of Yavna wood that he chopped up for him to use for firewood to warm him up after letting blood. The Rabbi Tzachle used to let blood very commonly. The Rambam discussed how often, once a month, depending on the age, once a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months, but they used to let blood quite often. So on one of these occasions, they didn't have wood to warm them up, and they used the fancy furniture wood to burn fuel as fuel in order to heat up these Amram Shmuel, or if you did in the second case, the Rabbah, and third scenario is Rabbah, Selchabe Sharfifa, there was a footstool that he used the footstool, again, a piece of furniture he used as fuel for the fire to warm himself up after letting blood. Family by the Rabbah, Sabayas the Rabbah, the cover of Batashkas. What about Batashkas? He's destroying, why are you using furniture? You're using a chashava, something which, it's not stam, just firewood, in order to heat oneself up. Amarle, Batashkas to Gufa Adif, big insight in life, Batashkas to Gufa Adif, the Batashkas to Gufa Adif. I remember once at a Rebbe who pointed out for us, when people are very mocked, when they have food on their plate, that they have to finish all the food on the plate because it's a problem about tashkas. Whether that's true or not is a separate story, but people are makbid that it's about tashkas to leave a food on their plate, and you say batashkas to go for adif. If you ate enough, batashkas of the guf is a lot more important than batashkas of your than batashkas of the food. Take care of your body. Same idea over here, batashkas to the gufa is more important than, you're right, you're destroying the furniture, batashkas to the guf is adif. The shayla, obvious question is, what was Abayas Havmina? We're talking about physical, we're talking about potentially calling this pikuach nefesh, calling this life and death, it's very dangerous. What's he talking about batashkas of the, what's this havmin that Yeshua about batashkas? So the first one gives a few malchim. One malch is Abaya wasn't unaware. He didn't know that bloodletting led to such a dangerous outcome. The chill that came out of bloodletting led to a dangerous outcome, and therefore he said, it's batashkas, it's just time just to feel a little better. It's not a sakana, what are you doing? So the answer was, no, it's very dangerous. Batashkas to gufa, it's mamish dangerous. That was one malch. Rabbah, another malch is, Rabbeinu Masharis wants to bring, that Rabbah cut up the furniture before letting blood. He didn't let blood yet. It was time for him to let blood. He didn't have wood. He cut up the furniture and he had it prepared before he let the blood. So Abayah was bothered. If it's before you're letting the blood, why don't you go find other wood? Why waste this? Why not go find other wood? And the answer still was that he was going to let blood. That was, again, part of the protocol for their health. And this is the wood that was available. And he took it, even though instead of delaying the whole bloodletting process, so even prior to letting the blood, he cut up the furniture. That's how Rabbeinu Masharis answers, explains to answer the kasha, because although it's very shver, what was Abaye's problem about tashkas? It must be done before bloodletting, and the Marsha wants to say it was during the week. It wasn't on Shabbos, it was during the week. So that's why Abaye was saying you should use something else. On Shabbos, I understand you're limited what you can get, but during the week, again, similar to Blaise Masharowitz, go find something else. It's a chiddush that he was so quick to go to use the furniture. That was Abaye's time, and the answer was still. It's so important that it's not considered about tashkas, and they disregarded Abaye's time. Amar Vidam Rav. Lo Elam Yimkar Adam. A person should sell his house, the beams of his house, and go homeless in order to have shoes for his feet. That's how important shoes on one's feet are. The explanation actually they give is, Rashi brings is actually not so much from a health perspective, as from a degrading perspective. Not having shoes on one's feet is considered very degrading. And therefore, better to be homeless than to have no shoes. Okay, but the point to Agamar, the relation to Agamar is the following. Hikas avin amayachal, a person who lets blood and doesn't have food to eat after letting blood, yimker min olav shebragl v'yaspev amtsarches yudah, he should sell even those very same shoes, those self-same shoes that he sold his house to get the shoes, sell those shoes to get food. You got to eat a meal after letting blood. Dangerous not to have food right after letting blood. What does it mean? What type of meal are we talking about? Rav Amar Bas, Rav says meat, Shmuel Amar Yain. Shmuel says wine, meat or wine. And the Rav explains, Rav Amar Bas, Nafsha, Chalof Nafsha. Because by letting blood, he gave up some of his nefesh. Some of his nefesh, which we're saying is some of his flesh. Even though it's blood, but it's some of his flesh and blood. And therefore, let it be replaced with other life. Let it be replaced with meat. That replaces the life that was drained from him. Shmuel Amar Yain Simka, Chalof Simka. Wine is red. Obviously, we're talking about red wine, I guess. And the blood is red, and therefore replace the red blood with red wine. Very interesting today. I think most people would be surprised to say that meat, maybe yeah, but wine, to drink wine after letting blood, sounds a little bit of a chiddush to us today. But the medicine approach back then was that replace the red blood with red wine. Red wine was considered very nutritious and healthy for the body. Shmuel Yoma, obviously in fair amounts. Shmuel b'yamid avim milsa, Shmuel on the day that he went to bloodletting, adla tavisha tzachli, they made him a dish made of spleen. Spleen, of course, is a red. Spleen, so it's like replacing the red with the red. Same idea. Would drink so much wine until the smell came out of his ear. That's how much wine he would drink. Obviously, it's an expression. Rachman would drink wine after bloodletting until the spleen was like floating in wine. Would drink wine after bloodletting until the smell came out of the lancet puncture where he let the blood out of, where he did the bloodletting. Rav would look for wine that was a vine of three leaves. What does it mean, three leaves? The first Rashi seems to explain a vine that was 3 years old. Problem is, the first is very bothered by this. Says 3 years old, you never can drink wine less than 3 years old, because if the vine is not 3 years old, then it's Arla. So they discuss, maybe it means, Rashi means 3 years from when it came off the tree. It was aged 3 years. Okay. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, Amar, or someone want to say it means that it was three seasons after already 3 years of growing leaves, of growing different leaves in the vines. It was three seasons after it became out of Arla. Okay. I'm of Nachman Mar Yitzchak the Rabbanan, but Matus Minach, I'm begging of you. Beyond that cause on day that you let blood, I'm really recycling Nachman Iklav Gaban. Tell your wives, Rav Nachman's coming. If Rav Nachman, who is the God Aldar, he's coming to people's houses, they're going to prepare a big feast. Tell your wives I'm coming in order to prepare a big feast. So it sounds like it was a little bit of a harama. Trick them that I'm coming in order to prepare a big feast, in order you have a big meal to eat. After you let blood, you have a big meal to eat. That's the simple diet. Rashi says, no, Avadi, you didn't trick the wife. The wife knew he's not coming. Tell your wife to prepare as if I'm coming. Ki'ilu, kimai, as if I'm coming. But she knew that he wasn't coming. He didn't do the Rama. The next line, Limar, sounds like more like the first way. The Kula Rami Asiri, all Haramas are Asir, which sounds like you actually did do Arama. Or Arama is Asir. Parma Arama is Shari, except for this Arama is Mutter. Other Arama is Asir, except for this Arama, which is Mutter. Again, according to Rashi, I have to say, even convincing yourself, making believe he's coming, is also a form of Arama. I was saying Arama typically is a bad thing, except for this Arama, which is a good thing. Madav and Milsa, one who let blood, and he doesn't have wine, let's say he can't afford to buy wine, to drink after letting blood. Lishko Zuz Macha, take out old Zuz. The Mar is assuming, at least an old Zuz, presumably he may have a Zuz, which is no longer in circulation. It's going to be important to at least have this worn out Zuz. Go to the wine stores and do samples. At the time, Shir Revisa, do samples till you have enough samples to Shir Revias. V Lai, Lechel, Shav Tamir, I'm sorry, and then first we'll explain, so what's the point of the coin? The point is, samples, the stores used to allow you to take samples in order before you buy wine. Go take samples, even though you don't intend to buy, take samples, and you can make up, it won't be a geneva, because you can make up at least a little amount that you had with this worn out coin that you possess, give them the worn out coin to pay for those, the tastings. Normally, you're allowed to taste if you're planning to buy, but if you're not planning to buy, you're not allowed to taste, so this will pay for the tastings. If you don't have that option, then what you do, eat 10 black dates, and rub oil in his temples, Shimsha and sleep in the sun. Sleeping in the sun is healthy in such a case. A story relating to sleeping in the sun. Avlet was a chash of a guy. Ashle Shmuel the Gunim Sham Shifashmuel sleeping in the sun. Amalei Chakimet Yidoy Bisha Mi Havetava. Something bad for the wise one of the Yidden is something bad good. Meaning sleeping in the sun is lechayr not healthy. Why are you doing that? Why? It could be very dangerous. Why exposing yourself to the sun so much? Amalei Yomid Akazu. Shmuel says it's a day of bloodletting, and we know on day of bloodletting it's not good to go in the sun. V'lohi, but that actually wasn't the story. Meaning it's true. In the day of bloodletting, it is good to go in the sun, but that wasn't actually the story. Why Shmuel was letting himself be in the sun. There's one day of the year that being exposed to the sun is actually quite beneficial. When is that? The day, again, second time today, we have this idea of Tekufas Tamas. The day where Tekufas Tamas falls out. The day when Tekufas Tamas falls out, the several day Galilei. But Shmuel didn't want to reveal this special day to the guy. He didn't want to reveal the special power of the day to the guy. So he used the excuse of bloodletting instead of telling him the true reason why he was in the sun that day. Rav Shmuel and Dami Tavayo, Rav Shmuel that both say, Kol Amik. Whoever is makom when it comes to the suda of a kazam after if laying blood, whoever is lenient, lax about that meal, makilam mizonis b'shemayim. In Shemayim, they're lenient about giving him mizonis going forward. You know why? I remember, oh, achai, there's a big yisayin in general life when people are lax with danger with their life. The same verse should apply. In Shemayim, they say he left blood and he's not busy trying to get a meal afterwards to strengthen his body. He doesn't care about his body. Should we care about his body? A little bit of a scary concept and alarming a person to be more careful with his shmarta meinav shesechem, because the Shemayim, it could lead to the Shemayim saying he's not makbid, why should be makbid? If it's specifically about mezainus, at least he's not taking mezainus, he's not eating mezainus after letting blood, so why should we be busy giving mezainus? He's not makbid, why should we be busy in Shemayim? Rabbi Shmuel Amar Tavayo, another member legabi bloodletting, Hayman Dav Milsa, someone who does bloodletting leisiv echad dekarach zika, shouldn't sit where the wind blows till meshafi le'umna, because maybe the bloodletter drained him of too much blood. Umukam aviyasa, we know a person needs a minimum of a revius blood dam to live. Revius dam is only sufficient if he's in a place where he's not fighting back against other things that are detrimental to him. If he's in a place where it's windy, maybe when we let blood, the bloodletter let out too much blood, he's down to the bare minimum amount of blood, and now when he's fighting against the wind, it's going to be too dangerous to him, and it's come to sakana, and therefore a person after he lets blood should make sure not to be in a windy place. Shmuel takav ragel d'vav milsa b'beis shav levinasa varicha. Shmuel, when he let blood, would make sure to stay in a house, he would actually do the bloodletting in a house that was 7.5 bricks thick. That's how thick the walls were, in order that no wind should be able to get in. One day he let blood and he felt himself up a little shvach. And he went and he examined the walls and he saw aricha is the half brick. A half brick was missing. He was able to feel the difference between the wall that was 7 bricks thick and 7.5 bricks thick. Let a little more of zika in, a little more wind in, and it wasn't healthy. He felt the difference in his after he let blood. Rav Shmuel Amar Tavayo, Hayman David Milsa, someone who let blood, lita midi vadalipuk. He should first eat something, then leave the house that he's in. He should eat something first. If he doesn't eat something, this is what's going to happen. If he meets up with a dead person, his face will turn green. If he meets up with a murderer, Mace will certainly die. If he meets up with top of Ambez, if he meets Davracher, will touch as a chazir, as a pig, then Kashala Davracher. If he meets a Davracher, if he meets a pig, it's Kashala Davracher. It's hard for Davracher, Rashi says. Davracher, and the second Davracher is Saras. If he let blood and didn't eat anything, and he meets a Davracher, a pig, his Kasha, it could lead to him getting Davracher, namely Saras. Rav Shmuel Amar Tavayo, Hayman Davi Milsa, someone who let blood, Leishipur Tavad Leikim. He should wait a little before he gets up. When we find this, actually, there got to be a few things. Damamar, Mar said, it's important right in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, this idea. Chamisha Dvarim, Kraven Lemisi has behind 5 things. A person who does them, he's closer to death than life. I mean, the danger things to do. Ve'elohein, what are these? These are all about getting up quickly. Elohein, achav amad. A person eats and right away jumps up after eating. Shasav amad, or he drinks and right away jumps up. Yashav amad, if he gets up in the morning, that's the one that I was referring to, right in the first Shulchan Aruch. If he sleeps and wakes up and jumps up right away, a person is supposed to, even though we say, Skabek Ari, like everyone over here obviously is doing, up over here, except for those in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure they were Skabek Ari also, but everyone over here at 5:30 in the morning was Skabek Ari, but you're not supposed to. Even when you're Mizkabek Ari, you're not supposed to jump out of bed second you wake up. You're supposed to give your body time to adjust to, from sleeping mode to waking up mode, whether it's a few seconds, but something. Yashav Aman, Hikazam Aman, someone who lets blood and jumps up right away. And lastly, Shibish Mitzvah Vaman, one who has relations and jumps up right away. These are all things that are dangerous. And obviously the one that's relevant to us, our topic of here was letting blood and jumping up right away is dangerous. Amar Shmuel, Pursa Dama Kultos Yame. When is the time for letting blood? Once every 30 days. That's not for letting blood once every 30 days. When a person gets a little older, what's pain of brachim? When he's, Rashi explains, when he's above 40. After the stage of 40, you might, the body doesn't produce the blood as fast in between, and it's maybe his body's a little bit, the recuperation is a little more difficult, and therefore he should be might to what? Down to every 2 months. You might, instead of once a month, once every 2 months. So the Gemara doesn't say how much. Rashi explains, might down to once every 2 months. Pain of brachim, when he gets further, when he ages further, when he gets to 60, he should be doing once every 3 months. From Rashmul, Persidam Chabashabata, Arba Malib, Arba, Umali Shabbat. The time to let blood is Dafka Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Avashenich Mishloi, not a Monday, Thursday. Why? Damar Mar, Mishesh Shus Chos Avizak is Avashenich Mishi. Someone has Shus Avis, Azaz Chos, he can let blood on Monday and Thursday. But everyone else should not. Why? Shebezin Shamalav Shamata Shavin Kechad. We know Ez was Masaki and the Bezin sits in court on Monday and Thursdays. And we know the Bezin Shamala mimics Bezin Shamata. So since once Ez was Masaki and the Bezin sits in court on Monday and Thursday, in Shemayim also, there's more of a Bezin going on Monday and Thursday. And therefore, those are days where one should let blood, because letting blood, of course, leads to puts a person in Matzav Sakana of danger. We're saying, again, it was for the person's greater health, but it does lead to the person being in sakana, and therefore they shouldn't let blood on Mondays and Thursdays. But plus Shabbat, my time alay. What about, so he's saying a person should let blood on Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday, Thursday, explain not, because it's in a Bezdin. What about Tuesday? Plus Shabbat, my time alay. Why not on Tuesdays, because the mazel of mazim, Rashi goes through the seven mazalis, you got the sun and the moon, and the five constellations that we see, really the five planets that we see, Mars, Jupiter, that we could see, so they all have different mazalis, and these mazalis, they rotate on a constant fashion, and on Tuesday, we also know even hours of the day. I'm just going through quickly through the Cheshbon of the Arichas Rashi, Arts class actually has a nice little chart on this, but the even hours of the day are hours, even hours are hours that are also more susceptible for bad mazel. So the mazel of Madim, which is the mazel of Mars, it ends up coming out on an even time, on an even hour, on Tuesdays, and therefore you have that combination of bad hour, bad mazel of Mars. You don't want to let blood on Tuesdays. Okay, Mal Shabbat Nami Kama Bazavi. The Mar asks Friday also the mazel of Mars comes out an even hour. So why Dafka Tuesday? Friday should also be no good for blood letting. Answer the Gemara Big Yisayid Kivin the Dosh Be Rabim. Since the Rabim have trampled on this concept, Shemir Pesayim Hashem. You're right. It really, technically speaking, Friday should be the same as Tuesday. But since the Rabim have been doing it, they've been doing it for years on Fridays. We go into a new realm of Shemir Pesayim Hashem. And therefore, not to worry about the mazel. This idea, second psak for Ramesha, this of today, this idea was brought up when they asked Ramesha the Shiloh about smoking back in the day. Again, this may have changed over time now that we know, furthermore, how dangerous the dangers of smoking. There's so many dangers associated, not just the original danger of the lungs, there's dangers of heart disease, other dangers as well. So when Ramesha was originally asked about the permissibility of smoking, his heter was, he said, well, people that smoke, I don't think he recommended it, but the heter was that for those that smoke, Shemir Pesayim Hashem, it's keeping the Dushma Rabbim, since so many people do it, Shemir Pesayim Hashem, again, with everything in life, Shemir Pesayim Hashem, but if it's constantly we see that people are getting harmed by it, you have to know how long that concept of Shemir Pesayim Hashem lasts. Amar Shmuel, Dalid Du Arba, letting blood on the fourth day of the week, which is a Wednesday, Dalid Du Arba Yasa, letting blood on the fourth day of the week, Wednesday again, which is the 14th day of the month, Dalid Du Esra Arba. So if Wednesday is the fourth day of the month, 14th day of the month, or the 24th day of the month, Dalid Leka Arba Basbe, or letting blood on Wednesday, where you don't have 4 days left of the month, so it's within the last three days of the month. There's no, you don't have 4 days left of the month afterwards. Sakant, all these cases, Sakana. Rish Chodesh, Rishani, like Chulsha, Rish Chodesh, and the second day after Rish Chodesh also is a time of weakness. I don't know if it has to do with the fact that the moon is barely there, but that, clear enough, because that'll be, the end of the month will be the same thing. Shlishi le sakana, the third day of the month is also sakana. Mali is also sakana. Mali yaimetava chulsha, letting blood on erev yantiv causes weakness. Mali yaimetatarta sakanta, letting blood on a regular erev yantiv is causes weakness. Letting blood on erev shavuos is a sakana. The gazra abana kulub mali tiyam taiva mishum yamtiv tab tab atzeres. And the chazal were gazer that one should not let blood on any erev yantiv, a gzeira atu erev, gzeira atu erev shvuas, mishum yam tav datzeres, denafu bezika mishpei tavach. By the way, what the Gemara explains, what's so unique about erev shvuas, why it's so dangerous, because there is a wind that blows on erev shvuas, which is called tavuch. Tavuch means shechting, dila kibbi so tayra, because had klai so naks of the tayra, have a tavuch lulu bisra ila demayo. The wind would have wiped that klai so. So since that wind was around, we see the famous concept that whatever was going on in the times of Klal Yisrael way back in the day when the Yom Tov happened, that mazel, that concept still exists even today. The wind that was around that was ready to wipe out Klal Yisrael had to not accept the Torah, that wind is around still every year in Erev Shavuos, and therefore it's a dangerous day to let blood when that wind's around. Actually, it's brought l'alacha. This is brought l'alacha. The Shechach brings that we know the minig is not to do a kusas dam letting blood on Erev Yom Tov. So there's another concept that was popular back in the day called bankis, called it was cupping, taking a cup, and it's not actually blood letting, it's just causing a suction and causing the blood to come to the outside of the skin, it stays in the skin, but to the top of the skin, causing it's cupping. It's a therapeutic method that people use till today. So it's worth an halacha. Mishmur brings that. On that siman Shulchan Aruch brings not to kazdam and Erev Yom Tov, Mishmur brings that one is allowed to do cupping on Erev Yom Tov, except for Hashanah Rabbah, which is Yom Adin. Hashanah Rabbah shouldn't do cupping, nor Erev Shavuos, even though cupping is not the same as letting blood. One should not do cupping on Erev Shavuos because of our Gemara, nor on Hashanah Rabbah because it's Yom Adin. Interesting idea. So many of the therapies Mishmur brings. I'm not saying everyone's makbar in this, but cupping therapy should not be done on Erev Shavuos or Erev second days by Sukkot. Okay. Amar Shmuel, achachita v'kizdam, person ate wheat and then let blood, lehikas elay sechita. All he did was let blood for that chita. Meaning, when a person eats, it brings a heaviness to his body. So if he eats right before letting blood, then the benefits of letting blood will only take care of the heaviness that he got from eating. Vani mili refuah, the Mara explains this only if he's trying to do it for refuah purposes. Avul klimekel, if he's taka trying to lighten his body, then he was successful. Then he did do, his blood letting did achieve his purpose. But he's trying to get refuah, he loses the refuah by eating right before letting blood. Hamakiz dam shtia b'alter. If one lets blood, he should drink right away afterwards. Achilat chatimil. But eating should wait till half a mil. So one who lets blood right away should drink. Eating you should wait. Don't eat the minute after. Eating you should wait till half a mil. Ibayalu shtia b'altamali. Are we saying drinking right away is beneficial? Avabasach gashi. And afterwards is no good? Idim alay kash tamali. The benefit of drinking is right away. Once he waited that time, not immediately, it's no longer as beneficial, but it's not bad for you. Take it, leave it as a shayli. Ibayalu. Achila chatzi mil hudu kamali. When we talk about achila, are we saying till after mil, that's when it's good? Ad chatzi mil hudu kamali, up to half a mil is good. But meaning at the time when it takes to walk half a mil. By the way, what's that time? We typically say a mil is about 18 minutes. It's basically like a mile. It's very similar to a mile. A mil is maybe drop longer. A mil is 18 minutes, so half a mil is about 9 minutes. So we're saying achila ad chatzi mil hudu kamali. Eating at around the time of 9 minutes, that's when it's beneficial. Eating too soon and after is kashi, is bad for the person. No, it's not good, it's not bad. You lost the benefit is exactly at 9 minutes. Teku, we leave as a shayla. 100 gourds for a zuz, meaning if someone's selling gourds, a person should buy it, chaparayin, because gourds are good for the body. If someone's selling heads of animals for a zuz, should buy them. But if someone's selling 100 lips, lips have no benefit for a person, lips of animals, and therefore you shouldn't spend the money on it. Amar Rav Yosef, Kavina be Rav Huna, Yema de Pagin be Rabbanan, when we were by Rav Huna's Beis Medrash, on the day that the Rabbanan were lazy to come to the Beis Medrash, Amriya in the Yema de Safami Havi, he'd call the day of the lip. It's lip. Why? I've laid down in my car. I know he's talking about, but now I fresh day. Just like Rav just said, buying lips of animals is useless. It doesn't serve any major purpose. So too, the lazy day of the Rabbanim when they were schlepping to come to the Spanish was called the day of the lips because it was a day that they weren't accomplishing anything. The Kishrin Taber, it's a few more lines. I know it's a bit late. Those have to go to Shachar 6:30. Just a few more lines to finish the parak. For Kishrin Taber, we said in the Mishnah that you could tie the umbilical cord of a newborn baby. Rabbi says you could also even cut it. Tarabon. Kishrin Taber, you allowed to tie the umbilical cord. Rabbi Yisrael Emer, Afchayt, you even cut it. Rabbi says the same as our Mishnah. They allowed to tie it. You allowed to cut it even. Kort Rabbi The time Rashi Kedesh Shechem Avad. That you can warm the placenta. This is a concept they used to do back in the day. I don't think we know like this today. But they used to feel that warming the placenta, even though it's no longer, the baby's no longer in the placenta, warming the placenta keeps the baby warm. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Amar Shimon Lamiel, Bnei's Melachim, Taimnes, Bisfalm, Shashemin, daughters of Melachim, they put in bowls of oil, Bnei's Hashirim, daughters of wealthy people who aren't Mamish Melachim, Seifkin, Shatzemer, they warm the placenta in wads of wool, Bnei's Aniyim, daughters of Aniyim, they do Bamuchim and rags, but whatever it takes to warm it up, it's a different, obviously, the higher level of wealth, the more chashav materials, but ultimately, it's a matter of keeping the placenta warm in order to keep the baby warm. Amar Nachman, Rav, he says, not only could you tie the milk cord in Shabbos, actually let it cut it off. Even though Chama say don't cut it, just tie it. They give Rabbi in a case where you have twins, that over there you cut it. Because the twins, with the milk cord maybe attached to each other, they could pull away from each other, and it could put them in a matzav of danger. Another member, a third member of Amarav, on this topic, that whatever is said in the parasha of Teicha, you could do for a woman who was given birth on Shabbos. Shenemar, he gives examples. Shenemar, it says because the pasuk refers to giving birth. On the day of your birth, your umbilical cord was not cut. Nor were you washed. This is talking about what happens in a negative sense when we're being punished. So these things that we're saying are negative, you're allowed to do positive on Shabbos for a person, for a woman who gives birth. The negative sense, by the way, nothing with Shabbos. The negative sense of the pasuk is that Nebuchadnezzar will be in a time we'll be punished where when we give birth, no one will be able to cut the umbilical cord, no one's going to wash the skin. You weren't salted at all, and you weren't swaddled up at all. So we see that all these things are mindless for giving birth. It says when the guy giving birth, it says in the day of your birth, we darshan from this pasuk all these things you allowed to do on Shabbos. You allowed to help a woman give birth on Shabbos. That was the Mishnah. You allowed to help a woman give birth on Shabbos. We learn from the umbilical cord by saying the umbilical cord was not cut. We learned that on Shabbos you're allowed to cut the umbilical cord. Again, this is going to come up in the next parak. Gabi Bismila, when we talk about not being washed with water on the skin, but after being born, we learn from that on Shabbos one is allowed to wash a newborn with water on Shabbos. You can put salt on the van on Shabbos. It doesn't mean you don't like put a ton of salt. It's some sort of method where you clean or cleanse or harden the skin. It's talking about swaddling the baby that we're just discussing, keeping the baby warm. We were actually discussing swaddling the placenta as well, but certainly swaddling the baby itself, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. That is all learned from this pasuk. Hajjalach Mafanin, Mazel Tov, tomorrow Mitzvah, we will start our blessed Mila. Further talks about the topic of babies, Bismillah, and Shabbos. Have a wonderful